Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of three Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale. Original 16, official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
Welcome to the Flames TV live post-game show. Ryan joins me on the desk to break this one down. It's a 2-1 decision that the Flames dropped to Seattle, and Ryan, this one to me felt like another one where they left some points on the table. A really good effort by the team, a lot of chances, a lot of shots, but when they needed that goal, they just could not get it.
Yeah, you said it. You look at the shot clock tonight, and you would think there's not a whole lot to complain about. 37-21 and 17-8 in that third period when the press was really on, but you know, overall, I thought 5-on-5, this is a pretty evenly played game for the first two periods, and it was up there for grabs after two. You know, a tie game at home, first game back from the break, that's a situation that you probably don't hate. But you're going to look back on this one and kind of go to the talking points of this morning. You know, it was the power play, which now has goals in three straight games, but, you know, ultimately is sort of your Achilles heel on a night like this where you go 1-for-5, you have a brief 5-on-3 look as well. So in a game like this where it's tight, you did find a way to break through some of the checking that Seattle was putting up, but a 5-on-5 game that's kind of a saw-off, that's really where you want to try and make some hay with the man advantage. The power play is looking better. Like we said, goals in three straight. You like the movement. You like some of the chances that they've been able to generate, but we're kind of past the point of moral victories when it comes to that. Yeah. You need some production because these are the ones that you're going to point to and say it cost us tonight.
That darn power play. I have a lot of conflicted feelings about that power play because you're right. Like you said, they scored again tonight. Things were looking good. They had a lot of chances, and then yet it failed them when they really needed that goal. So let's show you how it went down. There was a lot of talk also this morning, not just about the power play, but about that three full days off for the Christmas break and whether they'd maybe have a slow start. Maybe it would take some time to get their legs moving. But after allowing that first goal, the energy was there.
Yeah, I liked it. And, you know, that can be a tough one, too. Seattle scores on the first shot of the night.
Yeah.
Kind of sets a tough tone for you and you know, being in your home building. Still some of the Christmas holiday carryover for some people, so there was a lot of energy. But I thought from there, you know, a guy that we're not going to talk a whole lot about tonight, but I thought Jonathan Huberdeau played a big part in that first period, just helping sort of shift it a little bit and get the forecheck going. Good decision-making with the puck, too. It was kind of a frenetic first period, but to be able to find their legs quickly after a bit of a break was nice to see. They did get the power play, but it just wasn't able to carry through for the rest of the night.
Okay, let's show you the goals in if you miss them, is what I'm trying to say. So as Ryan mentioned, Seattle opened the scoring on their very first shot. Beautiful pass there by Vince Dunn, who finds Kyler Yamamoto, who makes no mistake on the breakaway.
It's the age-old story. A missed chance at one end goes back the other way, and it's in the back of your net. But you said it, a great pass from Vince Dunn. I love that. One shoulder check, two. He sees Yamamoto bursting up the ice, and he makes no mistake.
Yeah, he was gone. It was a great pass. And then the Flames, like we said, they bounced back. Not the prettiest of power play goals, but they'll take it at this point.
Season of giving, a nice little gift there from Jamie Oleksiak. But you know what I love to see? It's Elias Lindholm pressuring and making things happen. That should have been an easy clear for Seattle in that situation, but what does Elias Lindholm do? He puts the pressure onto the defenseman and forces him into a mistake. Sharon Govich, of course, shows off the hands of Kadri doing what he does best. We're going to talk a lot about him tonight, but he crashed that blue paint and finished off that great chance.
And then in the third frame, 6 minutes in, Jared McCann comes off the bench here, finds Alexander Wemberg, and I'm not sure if Markstrom was caught off guard there, if he wasn't set, but somehow that puck goes in on the short side.
Yeah, possibly anticipating the pass in that situation here, but speaking of passes, how about that sauce from Jared McCann? The only thing better might have been that shot from Wenberg. You said it's sort of a tough one for Markstrom in that situation, but that is a picture-perfect shot, finding the upper corner. Not a lot of space there, but he's an elite shooter, made it happen.
Wenberg buzzing all night. McCann was buzzing all night. He had a ton of opportunities. He was creating chances. Hanifin in the dressing room, is that what I heard? Am I here? All right, let's go into the dressing room and hear from the Flames defenseman.
Game like that, what is the takeaway from your vantage point?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tight game tonight. And out there in the third period, it was a tight third, and we had a lot of looks there, but just couldn't capitalize and couldn't get in the back of the net. But 2-1 game. I think there's some things we can build off of that. So unfortunate to not get the 2 points, but there's some things we can learn from it.
It wasn't a long break, but were there any adjustments that had to be made for getting yourself up to speed or just the way you wanted to play, or is that just?
I think yeah, I mean, anytime you have 3 days off, you know, you want to get your legs going. But I thought, honestly, for the most part, that we had a pretty good first period. You know, there was, you know, for being off for 3 days, there were some chances it was close first. So I wouldn't, you know, say that had too big of a factor in the game.
Well, what's preventing this team from maybe scoring more at 5-on-5?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think like tonight, you know, we just, you know, it wasn't like there weren't any looks for us tonight. You know, there's a lot of rebounds and some chances around the net, especially there in the third period. Just we didn't get that puck luck tonight, so that'll turn for us.
Is it one where there aren't necessarily a ton of lessons to take from it? Like, as you're saying, I mean, you guys had your chances. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys were right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have obviously 3 days, you know, in between games here, so there's going to be, we'll probably take some time just to review it and see what things we can clean up on. And, yeah, that's what I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Yeah.
So the power play, we hate to harp on it, but we kind of have to because it's been the story for quite a while now. And like you said, they've scored now in three straight games on the power play. They had a ton of chances tonight. Kadri had one from the slot. Lindholm had a glorious chance. So, you know, they're getting the chances, but what do you see? Where are they failing on the power play right now?
Well, I think, first off, let's go with the positive angle and that they're actually creating a lot of good chances now in these last few games. And it started in Anaheim here as we're talking about goals in three straight, Elias Lindholm, the beneficiary there. But, you know, for me, and if you look at some of the struggles earlier in the season, some of the challenges with the Flames were related to face-offs and zone entries, literally some of the foundational pieces of what you need for a good power play. That tide has turned in a big way. And a guy like Nazem Kadri tonight played such a big part in that, won 17 of his 22 draws. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to make a measurable impact on a power play where you're able to start with possession. And, you know, you talk about generating chances and snapping it around. Well, you're not going to get those unless you actually have possession of the puck in the first place. So that's the offensive zone side of things. But I like the way they're entering, you know, with speed through the neutral zone. It's a little bit more of a simple rush attack mindset. But it's paying dividends. And you know what? They've got that shooter's mentality to everybody on the ice right now. We've talked so much of it over the course of the season about a guy like Mackenzie Weegar. You know, his mentality has been get pucks on net at every opportunity. But we're starting to see Rasmus Anderson, Yegor Sharangovich, guys like that, really pounding away, creating chaos in front. That's how you're going to score on the power play.
And even like we said, the goal that they scored on the power play tonight, not how they drew it up. But anything you get score at this point can only build your confidence on the power play, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? We're starting to see, you know, again, we just mentioned Sharangovich. Well, he comes within inches of tucking that away.
Yeah.
But it's all about hard work. We talked about it in the highlight pack. You know, Elias Lindholm loses that draw, one of his, I think, two losses on the night. But what does he do? He gets right in the face of a guy of Jamie Oleksiak, forces him into that mistake, and that just creates a whole bunch of chaos in and around the blue paint. So if you can do that when you have it, also when you don't, mm-hmm. You're going to, you know, make your own plays. But like I said, just force the other team into some mistakes.
Okay, Michael Backlund is standing by in the dressing room. Let's hear what the captain had to say about this one.
What would your assessment of that one be after a few days off to get back into it, what do you think?
Yeah, you can tell both teams did come out of a break. Wasn't as sharp as we usually are, and pace on both teams, I think, too, was maybe not, you know, top NHL standard. And in the third, it picked up a little bit, being a tight game and we being down, pushing it for it. Overall, we know we can be better, and yeah, we had some looks, and at times we weren't direct enough. We were passing around a little too much.
Is it a little bit like last year's games where you were pushing, but just couldn't get that goal?
Nah, we moved on from that. It's almost new calendar year too, so definitely moved on. So I just felt like we weren't. You know, we had some looks and we had some shots, but I thought at times we were passing instead of shooting. And I think the game was up for grabs and they got a goal. And yeah, we know we can score goals. We've won games by unscoring teams and out defending teams. So we can win both ways. And we know we will.
Mike, how big a role did Chris Krieger play in you guys not being able to score more than once?
Yeah, he had a good game. Yeah, maybe some big saves, and but yeah, at times we tried to be a little too pretty and made it easy on him at times too. But you know, he came out big for them a few times.
Seattle's a team you entered today's game. You were level with on points for that wild card spot. How much more does this loss hurt more knowing that it comes against a team that's fighting for the same thing that you guys are?
Yeah, I know it's tough. It's not what we wanted. We talked about it in the morning, how big a game it was, and like you said, how close it is to the wild card race, and we want to, you know, climb up there and be in the wild card spot. So, you know, we got some time now to have some good practice, regroup, and you know, one more game for this calendar year.
Am I crazy that that might be a game that you can move on from pretty quickly, though? I mean, it's not like the performance was particular, like they didn't outplay you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad game, but I don't think either team was had the top game. And yeah, I thought we had we were a little better, but it doesn't matter. We lost, and it is it's like we said, a tough game to lose with the rivalry, divisional opponent, and with the tight race we're in.
Michael, you talked about this a little bit post game in LA, but this group has worked so hard on several occasions to get back to 500, and then kind of slid backwards a little bit. Has that started to kind of grind on this group?
No, I think, you know, obviously right now the mood's not top, but, you know, we'll come in tomorrow ready to work again, and we'll keep pushing ourselves and, you know, to get over that hump, get over that 500 mark, and push ourselves into a wild card spot.
Okay, thanks, Baxter.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so the Flames drop a 2-1 decision to the Kraken, despite doing a lot of good things tonight. And one of the best things was Nazem Kadri, who was flying out there again. He on that line with the Martin Pospisil and Connor Zary have been great all year. And I know that Nazem's been asked a few times how much fun he's been having with those two guys. And every time he laughs, he's like, yeah, they're listening to me. I'm telling them what to do, and they're paying attention. And whatever they're doing, it's really working out there.
Yeah, Cads and Kids, can we make that
there
work?
There you go. Yeah.
We're going to try to work that into the lexicon somehow. But yeah, he's been great. You know, all-star selections, I think, are only a few weeks away. And he's the team's leading scorer, you could argue, has definitely been the MVP. He's all over it. He finished the night with the team leading 6 shots, 70% possession. I think his line accounted for about 10 of the 27 5-on-5 shots the Flames had on this night. So they're all over it. And it's so amazing to watch, too, because there's a buzz in the building. There's a momentum shift. Every time that line takes to the ice, and I'm not sure what the elixir is that makes this concoction work, but it's impressive because all three guys are feeding off one another, and it just seemed like there's this instant chemistry that's been built. And, you know, for a guy like Nazem Kadri, too, I mean, he's a proud guy. He's won a Stanley Cup. He understands what it takes. But head coach Ryan Huska talked about this earlier in the year. Well, maybe what's the biggest difference in a mindset for a guy like that? You know, he said he's at that point in his career now where he really understands that there's more to it than just going out there and playing your game, that you do have a responsibility as an older guy to help some of the young guys along. And, you know, I think what's great to see in a situation like this is not only is he doing that, but he's found an extra gear in himself, too, and he's bringing that on a nightly basis, and it's paying off on the score sheet as we're seeing here every single night at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
We were joking this morning about how he's the old guy on the line. I think at 32 years, the other guys were 24 and 22.
Yeah, I take umbrage with that personally.
I know, but I said, I was like, you're wise now. Like, you have all this experience, and you can see him out there during the game, you know, before face-offs or late in the game, he's directing traffic, telling guys where to go. So you're right, that leadership quality in him seems to be really kind of rising to the forefront.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we don't know exactly what direction, you know, this Flames season is going to take. Mm-hmm. It's still very much in the mold, but, you know, again, how important is that? You know, these are two guys in Martin Pospisil and Connor Zary who, you know, didn't make the team out of training camp. We're arguably very close, but they are the next wave of Flames players that are going to be here for a long time, too. So it's not just about the success we're seeing on a daily basis right now. This is about building for the future as well. But to be able to do that and see some of that immediate payoff, too, that's got to fill everybody with a bit of confidence.
Absolutely. Okay, lucky for us, Nazem Kadri is in the dressing room. Let's hear what he had to say about this game.
What's your assessment of that game?
Tough to lose. Don't think we gave up a whole lot. Had some good opportunities. Just, you know, couldn't find that extra goal.
What role was their goaltender when you have that many shots? Is it kind of to tip your hat to them, or is it execution on your side, or how do you see it?
I mean, a little bit of both, right? I think, you know, you try to bear down in those situations. Of course, we want to score, and we want to capitalize on those opportunities. But at the same time, he made some great saves, timely saves to keep keep his team in it on the road, and you know we certainly pushed.
What's what do you have to do to score more at 5-on-5, Nazem?
I don't know. Probably shoot more. I mean, do we not have a lot of 5-on-5 goals? I don't know.
You're
what the
19th in the league.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistic is.
Struggle of late. So.
Yeah. I mean, just try to try to get greasy. That's really what happens when you're having trouble scoring goals. You got to get to the blue paint, hopefully bang one in, tip one in, find some loose change, and you know, I guess we got to do a better job with that.
I think Michael said that it seemed like you guys were maybe trying to be a little too fancy tonight. Did you feel that way too? Or?
Not necessarily. I think at times we were certainly a little bit sloppy, and we could definitely clean it up. You know, that's just we want to set ourselves to a high standard, and that at times it certainly wasn't good enough, but other times there were. We made some great plays and had some great looks, but you gotta try to find a way.
You mentioned sloppy. Is that just a matter of maybe being off for a few days, or do you credit that, or what's that?
I mean, I don't really like to, you know, look for excuses, really. I mean, I think that's an excuse to me, and, you know, could it have a part to do with it? I mean, sure, it might have, but at the end of the day, I think we're pretty good players and we can execute at a high level, and that's what we expect from ourselves.
We've talked to you guys after games where you guys have been frustrated with your performance. We've talked to you after losses where you guys said, look, we played pretty well, it didn't go our way. From the press box, like, you guys certainly seemed like you were in that game the whole way you guys were competing. Is it one that, does that make it sort of easier to move on pretty quick? And, like, what conclusions can you really take?
For sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of positives and certainly things we want to clean up. Like I mentioned, we want to continue to push that standard and not be okay with, you know, being mediocre. So, of course, to us, I think we, you know, we can give a little bit better. But, you know, I mean, what were the shots tonight? Like, they were pretty lopsided. I mean, a lot of those are good looks, and there are some good saves. And I didn't feel like we gave up a ton today, but, you know, they were opportunistic. Capitalized on a pretty nice shot, and that was the difference.
You seem pretty fired up after you scored. Was it because it was a power play goal, because it was greasy, or just because it was?
It's because it was a goal. I think I enjoy scoring. I mean, I think it's nice to show that emotion to kind of, you know, give the group a little energy. And, yeah, of course, you know, we want to get our power play going. And I think really at times our power play looked really good tonight. And it's, you know, a lot to build off and certainly moving in the right direction.
It's three straight games with a power play goal for you guys. Mm-hmm. Is there something different in your execution? I mean, obviously you guys are getting goals, but what are you guys doing differently that's leading to this success?
It's just the momentum thing. I mean, that's really how special teams work. Like when you're in a rut, you feel like, you know, the snowball just keeps building and building. And, you know, when you're scoring goals, you feel like you can go out there and you got a chance to score every single power play unit. So, it's, you know, special teams is a funny thing, but, you know, certainly I think we've mentally, you know, kind of fought that off, and we've done a lot of work behind the scenes to improve ourselves, and, you know, it's good to see those results.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of three Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale. Original 16, official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
We've talked a lot about tonight about the quality chances that the Flames have had, and the reason they couldn't score those chances is because they ran into a hot goaltender tonight. Chris Drieger got the start for Seattle, his first start, first NHL start since May 1st, 2022. Coach Dave Hakstol electing to go with him over Joey Decord, who's been really good for the Kraken lately, but I guess he saw something and whatever he saw worked because he had a hot goalie tonight.
Sentimentality, perhaps, with some history in this building. But you're right, this one kind of caught us off guard. Joey Decord has been between the pipes with Philip Grubauer on the shelf on this six, now seven-game point streak for the Kraken. So he was great. I mean, he's got a great story, a guy who's been, you know, kind of one of the original Kraken members, being one of the expansion draft guys, a lot of love from the fan base, and, you know, has worked really hard to get back to this point. And, you know, as we kind of alluded to there, a bit of history in this building. Former Calgary Hitman netminder, and I think we're about a month shy of the 10-year anniversary of him actually scoring a goal in a Hitman sweater, too. So a lot of, you know, just interesting when things come together like that, and perhaps there was something to the, you know, familiarity of being in this building. And Seattle as a team has had a little bit of success in this building, too. So probably, you know what, I think ultimately it speaks to sort of the next man up mentality that this team has had this year, because they're currently without some pretty big players, Andre Burakovsky, Jaden Schwartz, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and you add Grubauer to the list. So they've needed guys to step up, and just looking at some of these stops, these are high quality, and the Flames had some really good looks on the power play tonight, but, you know, it's that next man up, as we said. Everybody's got to step up and play a role. That was the biggest one of all tonight.
Right. I wonder how the Flames react to this, to having all these great chances and getting beat by this goaltender who kind of came out of nowhere, right? And it's been tough sledding in terms of scoring goals all season. This can't really help the confidence, I would say.
Well, you heard one of the questions in the room too for Kadri about, you know, what do you need to do to generate more offense 5-on-5? And, you know, Kadri's answer was pretty simple: get greasy. And we saw that on his goal. We know that some of that 5-on-5 offense needs to get going again. They've got a little bit of practice time now before the next game on New Year's Eve, so that's the key. Work on maybe adding a little grease to the repertoire before they're back in action on Sunday.
Okay, let's hear from the head coach, Ryan Huska, his thoughts on this loss.
Coach, how would you assess that one?
Disappointing. I felt we deserved better tonight. We carried the play for a lot of it. We just didn't make good on some of the chances that we did have.
Yeah. Is there a sloppy element to it, too, because of the days off? Or?
You know, I don't think there was a ton of it, no. I mean, there were some plays for sure, some missed passes that went for icings, things like that. But for our game, for the most part, possession-wise, we had the puck for a lot of the night, and I thought we did a lot of good things. The one area we can get better at is getting people through and around the net to try to make some of those saves a little bit more difficult. But no, I wouldn't put it in that sloppy category for a game that can be. This is a tough game at times.
Backlund mentioned there's was a lot of passing and maybe not enough shooting.
Yep.
Do you agree with that assessment?
There were certain opportunities where I think we could have shot when we still made that secondary pass. I think for me it was more about maybe getting people around their goaltender a little bit more than we did. So some of the shots that we took from distance, they're easier saves for a goaltender. And yes, we were able to get the puck back again, but you know, if they're seeing shots, they're going to make saves like that. So he made a couple great saves on us tonight, but we didn't find a way to get enough past him.
What did you make of your power play tonight?
It was better again. I mean, it had stretches where it looked good. It was dangerous. They had a chance to score a second one where their goaltender made a great save on it. So it's three games in a row now. It scored a power play goal, so that's a step in the right direction.
Is there something different in the execution? How would you explain why there's been this little bit of success on the power play?
I think the execution's been better. I think they're doing things with some more pace, whether that's coming up the ice on entry or in zone. And I still think we can get a little quicker in that area. But there's key times of the game. That's the one frustrating part, like the start of the third period there. We have that power play opportunity where we could take a lead with that one. And we didn't have that was probably our worst power play of the night. But as I mentioned earlier, it's going in the right direction.
Have you seen signs, like with 3-3 games, have you seen signs that they're starting to feel better about it as a power play unit? Like, are they are you seeing a little more?
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep.
What did you make of Walker Jory's first game in a while?
I think he did a good job tonight. He had the shot block in the first period. He used some speed wide again, so he gave us not a ton of minutes, but he did a good job with his minutes.
When it comes to the power play, is that something Kadri was sort of saying? Special teams can be a funny thing where, you know, momentum and confidence do matter. Is that how you see it?
Special teams is typically all momentum, and usually they're what wins you or loses you games most nights. So it's nice that we're starting to score on ours, and our penalty kill did a good job again tonight. But like I said, we had 37 shots, and I'm not sure how many chances we ended up with. We had some good opportunities that we just didn't finish on.
Seattle's one of the handful of teams chasing a wild card spot, along with you guys. Does losing to them tonight kind of add more loss?
Yeah, it sucks, for sure, even at this point of the year. I mean, we're not in a position that we want to be in right now, so all these games for us matter.
Ryan, I'm not expecting you to throw your goalie under the bus, but it's like two games in a row where the first shot goes in, and I appreciate it was a breakaway, but are those things are... You know, we always talk about things that got to get cleaned up.
Yep.
That seems to be a bit of a recurring theme, these early goals allowed. What do you do to sort of stem that tide?
Well, tonight we had an odd man rush situation going the other way, and they end up with a breakaway off a good play from their guys. So sometimes that's the way it works. You know, we had four guys up in the rush, and we had a chance to generate off that. And with a D-man up, if you're not aware of where people are leaving out of the zone, that's what happens.
As a coach, there aren't that many opportunities where you have a couple days off in a row to practice during the season. I mean, what is this opportunity? How important is this opportunity for you?
It's good for us, for sure. They've had a little bit of a break, so a couple days isn't a lot for these guys. So it'll be a couple days where we can reinforce some things and work on some more of that speed execution stuff we need to see.
Given the statistical struggles of both Hurio and Mangiapane, have you thought about reuniting that Backlund, Coleman, Mangiapane line that has been really effective in the past?
We talk about line combinations every day. every day.
Right.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay, Coach Ryan Huska, of course, said it was a little bit disappointing. There are lots of questions about the power play, but lots of positives, again, to take out of this game. And maybe this is just another one that hopefully the Flames can keep building off of.
Yeah, like you said, I thought that was a pretty good assessment from the head coach there. A lot of good things to take from this game. We talked about Nazem Kadri and what the big dogs were able to do. We saw some good steps from Jonathan Huberdeau. A nice little review from Walker Dewar, who saw his first action since December 5th as well. Only played about 6 minutes tonight, but was involved, made an impact, used his speed, and as he mentioned too, blocked a few shots. So a lot of players on board tonight. So you leave the rink, of course, with a sour taste. You didn't get the result you want, but when you look at individual performances and what you were able to do collectively, again, 37 shots, you only allowed 21 at the other end. There isn't a whole lot to complain about.
Right. Not a lot of guys hanging their heads after this one, which is a good sign. So a few days now to get ready, regroup for the next one. The last game of 2023, they will take on Philadelphia on New Year's Eve. So we will see you back here then.